We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. This summer in Rio, one athlete holds the distinction of being the only U.S. sailor to represent the Midwest. That athlete is Annie Hager of East Troy, Wisconsin. And only 26, she already has a very impressive sailing career, such as being named the Female Collegiate Sailor of the Year in 2012 and U.S. Sailing's Rolex Yachtswoman of 2015.
Now, she and her partner Brianna Provancho will sail for Olympic gold in Rio, competing in the women's 470 division. WUWM's Rachel Owens caught up with Hager last week while she was home in East Troy making final preparations and enjoying a bit of R&R with her parents. As we find out, Hager's first reaction to a sailboat wasn't exactly love at first sight.
The very first time that you actually received a sailboat for a gift, you started crying, is that right?
Yeah, at the ripe age of 5 years old, I was heading down to the Christmas tree, so excited to see Santa was about to give me, and it turned out to be an Optimus sailboat, and I immediately just started bawling. And I think that was kind of my first introduction to sailing, and maybe it didn't go so smoothly, but since then, I've fallen in love with the sport.
And when did you actively start sailing?
I began a learn-to-sail program at a tiny little pond in Wisconsin when I was 8 years old.
Did you take to it right away, or did it take a little bit of time?
I was actually a very bad sailor when we first started. My parents kind of joke around with me, and we have this plaque that is sitting on our counter as we speak, and it says 14th place in Green Fleet, which is the lowest level that you can be. I don't know if it's a humbling thing that they're trying to bring you down, but yeah, no, I was very bad, but I think I fell in love with the sport. You're battling Mother Nature now, as well as your competitors, and I had so many great friends that I made through the sport.
It may sound like a bit of an odd present to get a sailboat at that age under the Christmas tree, but actually, you're from quite the lineage of sailors in your town.
Yeah, my family has been on Lake Eula for 5 generations now, and it's my dad's side of the family that are all avid sailors. My grandpa's 81 this year, and he's still out there. You can see him cruising in a boat called MC. And throughout the weekend, you'll see tons of cousins and my grandpa and my father all going out and competing. We have a section of the lake that they call the Hager Compound. So we have a lot of us out there.
And it's a rather small lake in comparison to others in Wisconsin, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. It was quite funny the first time I brought Brianna Provancha, the girl I sail with, out here. We pulled up to the house, we got out on the boat, and she's like, oh, where's the rest of the lake? Like, no, Bri, this is it.
Do you feel like you had any particular advantage starting off on that size of water?
Actually, it's funny you say that because I am the only sailor from the Midwest that will be competing at the Olympic Games, and all the other sailors kind of joke as the Midwest is a flyover state, kind of give me a little bit of flack for that. But growing up on a small lake, it really teaches you to trust your instincts. The breeze has to avoid, since the lake is so small, it doesn't have time to be consistent. So it's constantly shifting back and forth, especially on Lake Beulah. Wind is crazy, so it really makes you trust your gut, which I don't think a lot of sailors that grew up sailing on the ocean or sailing on Lake Michigan would experience that.
And I should mention for listeners who aren't too familiar with sailing, they may see your average size keelboat and think that that's the kind of sailing we're talking about. But actually, we're talking about dinghy sailing and boats that are about 15 feet or smaller.
Yep. The 470, the boat that Brianna and I sail, is 4.7 meters long. So yeah, right around 15 feet.
You and Brianna both had very successful youth sailing careers, and then you had a chance to meet each other at one of those competitions. It seems like that was really a turning point for both of you. So can you tell me a little bit about that experience and why you think you two hit it off so well?
It was called the Volvo Youth World, which is similar to the Youth Olympics in sailing. And I didn't really know her, and I was a little bit shy, and she waltzed right up and gave me a handshake, said, I'm Brianna, we're going to be friends. Okay. I guess we are. We got to Kingston, and we kind of were able to develop our friendship a little bit more and got to know her a little bit better. And she actually won a gold medal for the U.S. sailing a different boat, and I won a silver for the U.S. sailing a boat called the Laser Radial. I think the turning point for me then is I knew that I wanted to win a gold medal, specifically at the Olympics. And both of us have had that dream, and fate kind of determined that we were going to go to Boston College together, and the rest is history.
How did you both decide that the 470 was the boat for you guys?
So originally, my Olympic dream began in the laser radial. But in order to sail that boat at an Olympic level, you have to be around 155 pounds. And I was eating constantly, waking up in the middle of the night to eat food. And I plateaued, and I could not gain any more weight. So when that situation happened, our college coach kind of sat down with both Brianna and I and kind of laid it out. The path should change, maybe to switch to 470. So therefore, I had to lose all the weight that I just put on, and Brianna is now on weight gain. So that's kind of how our path was determined in the 470.
How do you train mentally and physically?
Honestly, for Rio especially, it's a lot of days on the water. The venue is very difficult in that there are inside and outside race courses. Inside meaning in the bay where the breeze is quite shifty. It's constantly head out of the boat conditions and not as much boat speed. And the outside race courses actually have waves up to 12 feet, which are absolutely massive.
Wow.
And it's much more consistent breeze. So the mental aspect of the training is really feeling comfortable in the venue, really feeling like you have as much information as you can and you can control what you can control. And otherwise, you kind of have to be a little bit flexible. On the physical side of training, I have a trainer. I go to the gym at 6 days a week. My position in the boat, I'm more of the finesse. I do a thing called hiking. My legs are holding my entire upper body kind of over a ledge on the side of a boat. I have a cockpit that's right there that I have all the controls that enable the boat to go fast. So I'm constantly pulling line and kind of making sure I'm fine-tuning things. While Brianna's position is more athletic, so to speak, and she's kind of the muscle behind the boat. So she's constantly eating food, constantly. She's in the gym just working her butt off. That girl's so strong.
Seems like, similar to dance partners, it's just as important to have that bond and that trust as a team as it does for the individual sailors to be strong and feeling comfortable with the boat themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a strength of our team for sure. We were friends before we became sailing partners, and honestly, it's a very difficult relationship to handle because you need to create conflict in order to get better. I love the girl so much that it's very difficult for me personally to bring things up when something's not going quite smoothly. But I think we have a base of trust, a base of respect for one another that enables us to push the other past every limit that we could ever imagine.
Is it hard the end of the day, put sailing behind you for the moment and just say, all right, we're going to hang out, we're going to relax?
I'm constantly thinking about sailing. So for me, shutting off my brain is very difficult, but for Brianna, she's quite good at it. So she kind of enforced this no sailing talk whenever we go out to dinner just to hang out, even though I have all these questions kind of circling around my head. Usually we have a non-sailing discussion so that we can kind of keep our friendship intact as well.
As you mentioned, it's really a mental game as well, and I think Brianna was describing it as a game of chess.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an hour long each race, and you can kind of think of it as a NASCAR track that there's a course that you have to sail around, and the person who finishes first gets 1 point. But it is an hour long, the competition, and every single change in the breeze and change in the wind, you have to adapt your boat to, and you have to position it correctly to do that. And since the competition actually is so long, down in the Olympics, we're sailing from the 10th of August until the 17th of August. So it's a very long, long days on the water, long mentally. It's really important that you're not only physically ready, but also mentally and emotionally ready. You're dealing with Mother Nature. Of course, it's constantly shifting and moving. It's not like soccer where you have lines. Always morphing, always changing.
And in addition to that challenge, one thing that the Summer Olympics in Rio have been getting a lot of controversy about is the water quality down there. Even last year during the trials, there were German sailors that were getting sick. So how concerned are you and Brianna about that factor?
We've been down there about 15 times now, down to Rio, that is. And we always say that we're just building up the antibodies, so to speak. We've been exposed to everything that Rio has to offer. And the tragedy is not us going down there. I mean, I'm going to come back to beautiful Wisconsin, and I'm going to be totally fine, but it's actually the kids that are down there that are swimming in the water day after day that I don't know if they're getting enough attention, enough press on that. It's not an issue for us. Us athletes are going to be just fine.
Take us, if you will, onto the boat when you're in a race. What's it like? Are you constantly communicating? Can you hear each other in the wind? What is it like in the heat of the moment?
That's a really good question. Is often the breeze, I'm constantly swallowing water and getting wet, so communicating for me is a little bit different. Especially if it's windy, Brianna is the eyes. So she's suspended from the mast on a thing called a trapeze. So she has a harness that she puts on her body and gets actually clipped into the mast. And therefore, she's a little bit higher and can see more. And she's kind of the information. So she'll say, more breeze here, here comes the boat. So she's constantly feeding information for me. I'm the tactics, which means I get to decide where we position the boat, figuring out how to play wind the best. So it's constant communication coming from a single-handed background. I was not very good at it when we first started. Us being friends kind of helped that. Being like, hello, are you okay back there? Like, what's going on? So I've had to learn how to do that, and I think we've kind of refined it over these last 4 years.
Your competitions have taken you both all around the world. What bodies of water have you found really challenging, or what have been your favorites, if you can name any?
We have traveled all over. It's actually quite funny. Something that a lot of people in different sports don't understand is we have a lot of equipment that we have to actually travel around Europe. So Brianna and I bought a car in Europe, and we have a trailer that we would tow around Europe that had 3 470s on it, 5.8-meter coach boat on it, and just this massive rig that two girls would be driving across Europe and everywhere, which is a pretty funny picture, and we have lots of stories. But bodies of water that I've enjoyed sailing on, I really enjoy the Med. We sailed a bunch in Spain and France in year and in Palma de Mallorca. Pretty consistent and kind of get in a rhythm. And one place that I found extremely challenging, though it was on the Med, was in Israel. We actually sailed a world championship there in 2015, and it was very difficult because the water color is quite different than other places in the Med. It's a little bit lighter color, it's a little bit warmer, and it's a sand bottom. Seeing the breeze on the water is very difficult, and therefore you can't really predict which side is going to pay.
As you said at the beginning of the interview, you do have the distinction of being the only sailor representing the U.S. in this Olympics, being from the Midwest originally. So what does that mean for you personally to be going into the Summer Olympics with that distinction?
Not only am I representing the U.S., but I hope I'm pushing other female sailors in the Midwest to get more involved in the sport, to love the sport, to know that even though you're up against different odds because we can't sail in the winter while the coast can, if you just love the sport and continue to do it for your whole life, not only will you make some incredible friends, but you'll also go to some incredible places.
Being from Wisconsin, do you have any local favorites that you're happy to enjoy right now while you're home or that you might be dreaming about while you're in Rio?
Right now, I'm really watching what I eat and not drinking any alcohol, but when I get back, I'm going to be drinking all sorts of spotted cows and going to the Elegant Farmer and getting her mop pie. It was my first stop.
Well, Annie Hager, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. We'll be cheering you on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
East Troy native Annie Hager speaking with WUWM's Rachel Owens. Hager is the only Midwest native on the U.S. sailing team and will compete in the women's 470 competition in Rio.
Races are held from August 10th through 17th, and you can live stream the event at NBC.com. There's also a link to more about Team Hager Provencha at WUWM.com.
Magnificently we will fold. Until the best thing.